in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Started looking at this last week. Next week, we're going to jump away from this particular text for the theme of Thanksgiving for the day, but we'll be back. But today, we're going to continue to look at verse 17. We looked at last week, and this passage actually tells us how we are to view and treat four groups of people. Last week, we looked at two of those, the first and the last: honor all men and honor the king. And that word honor means to esteem, to attach value to. And if for nothing else, we ought to be able to attach value to other human beings, no matter what continent they live on, no matter what country they're a part of, no matter what nationality, no matter what language, no matter what color, in a sense, no matter all that, we can appreciate all human beings based on who created them and how we are all created in the image of God. And by the way, just because we do things a certain way, sometimes it doesn't necessarily make it right or wrong. A lot of it is culture-based. Amen? And if we can learn to appreciate others from where they come from, it'll really help us as a people to honor them for that. Now, part of honor is also for their work's sake. And some people's works really aren't all that honorable. So we wouldn't bestow honor to a work of evil or to a work that's undermining God and His Word. We're not going to honor them for that, but we will honor those that we can honor. Honor to whom honor is due. Amen? And so that was last week's message. If you missed that, please go online, actonschurch.com. Go to the audio tab and listen to that message. I think we try to keep a year's worth of messages on there. You can go back and listen. We don't have the video for it, but the audio is definitely there. And that's just to be a help. Amen. And then the second group we're going to look at, or actually the third group, is found in this text as well. Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this opportunity to preach your word today. Thank you for this topic that we've come across now in this book as we go through it. And I pray today that this message would be a proper representation to you, that you would be honored, that it would be a help to each one that's here today. And God, that you would move mightily in this service, take control of me as the preacher, God, and all of us as we have engaged now together in this way, in a form of worship, as well as learning and training and a way to know you better and to learn how we should be in this day that we live. I pray, God, that you would just truly do a work today and might each person be tuned into the Holy Spirit of God as He leads and guides in all truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. The word brotherhood actually means a fraternal order. And you'll see a word oftentimes used in the scripture called brethren. Brethren are those that make up the brotherhood in a particular area. And we're going to look at that a little more closely today. Webster's 1828 dictionary says brotherhood is made up of two words, brother and hood, right? Brothers in the same hood, amen? In a sense, that's what it's kind of talking about, amen? And we find that the word actually means, from the Webster's 1828, the state or quality of being a brother, an association of men for any purpose as a society or a fraternity, a class of men of the same kind, profession, or occupation. I know those that are part of unions and different ones. I know, Brother John, we were talking about, is a union proper and all that. And I said, actually, there's some biblical founding for a union in a sense of a brotherhood. There is, amen, and grouping together for different things. There is a biblical foundation for that. Now, whether or not they do everything biblically, that's a different story, amen. But the idea is at least founded in the scripture. How many remember Kenny Yeck? Kenny Yeck, his son Matthew Yeck actually preached at the rally this last youth rally here at our church. And his father, Kenny, he actually reaches out to biker groups, clubs, and gangs even. But he wrote a track, and some of his tracks are in the back there. And one of those is titled Brotherhood. Brotherhood in the biker realm is very important and very, very much taught. I know in town there's an individual that is, he's a part of a biker motor club, MC, and we've talked extensively on this issue together in reference to brotherhood. He actually likens what they do in the motorcycle group and realm to what we do as a church. And there's a lot of similarities. There really are. Now, definitely different in origin and founding and purpose and all that, but there is a brotherhood aspect in their culture of motorcycle clubs, as well as there should be a brotherhood aspect in our church as well. Amen. As a matter of fact, he would even talk about the connection like a family. They call each other brothers in this motorcycle club, and how even within that they teach, they bring the younger ones in, and they attach them to a more of a veteran biker who knows the culture of that group, and they train each other in reference to that. They, in a sense, disciple each other for a time. They even hold each other accountable, will discipline as needed. And of course, that discipline varies based on club, but it's very interesting. That's all part of what is called a brotherhood. Let me just say, the devil is doing everything he can to disrupt the brotherhood concept of a church. Amen. By the way, I don't know why this keeps coming to my mind right now, but the universal church concept where everybody is just a member of God's church and there is no local assembly, the reason that's devilish and hellish based on Scripture is the fact that there's no brotherhood to it. Amen? I cannot fulfill Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 in reference to my responsibility to other members. I can't fulfill that responsibility to every Christian in the world. But I can to the word to a church, which is ekklesia in the Greek, which means a local, visible, called out assembly. Amen. We've assembled together here today. We're local, we're visible, amen, and we know each other. This is the idea of brotherhood will be in reference to a group like that. Amen. That's kind of the idea of this particular word. A brotherhood then is a deep-rooted family-type connection with others who have won the right to associate with that group. Now, in a biker scenario, not just anybody can wander off the street, sit down in their club. By the way, I was talking to this guy in town after COVID hit and all that, and he's like, "We never stopped meeting because of COVID." And I go, "Oh, we didn't either. We kept meeting too." It was hilarious. Amen. He's like, "We ain't going to stop meeting just because the governor said something." It's a biker group. Most churches came and figured that out. Anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's sometimes reasons you can't meet. If you're sick, stay home. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you. Jack Hiles says, don't call in sick, crawl in sick. Amen. But how many of us here really follow what he says about anything else? Amen. So, if you're sick, stay home. Amen. 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 Especially if you're contagious. If you've got a toothache, come on in. You're going to hurt here just like anywhere else. Amen. 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 All right, enough of that. All right, so a brotherhood, again, is a deep-rooted family-type connection with others who have one the right to associate with that particular group. In a Christian sense, the brotherhood of believers in a local assembly is made up of Christians who are associated with that church. And we're going to talk in a minute how you can be associated if you're not already. If you're already associated, I hope you know how you got to be associated. Amen. The term brethren is used 231 times in the New Testament alone. It is a term that Paul used often when talking on a heart level with his fellow co-laboring believers. Amen. 139 times Paul actually used it in his epistles. We're going to look at a couple of those very quickly this morning. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse number 12, what I want you to pick up on a couple of these passages we're going to look at is when Paul's using the term brethren, I want you to pay attention to the topics he's talking about. And I know as far as we're concerned, sometimes we use that word brother, sister, a little loosely in a sense, talking to different ones. But there really is a reason you would or would not. And by the way, in the biker realm, when you first come in, he was telling me, when you first come in, you don't get the right to be called a brother to that club until you've earned the right fully coming through their apprenticeship program and all that, until you get your rights to wear the colors, all those different things. They really view that properly, and they don't just call anybody brother arbitrarily. They call those that actually have done the work necessary to truly be a brother to that group. Amen? Amen? And I think there's some truth to that for us as well. We want to be very careful with some of those terms that end up getting used loosely and make sure that they have the right understanding and usage so that we get this concept well. Listen, churches today, we live in the day that if you don't agree with something in a local church, just go find another church to go to, because there's no real connection, because we're all just, you know, part of the church in the sky, pie in the sky idea. That is not right. If you as an individual do not feel a family connection with our church, that's a problem. And you'll never serve God as you could have or that you should, because you're still on the outside looking in. And I'm sure there are some members that really don't feel that deep-rooted connection. And can I say, if that's the case, that really needs fixed. The first person that starts fixing that is you. Amen? And that's how it starts. But there's a need for it. There's a real, real need for it. Let's see how Paul used the term in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here, Paul, by the way, in our church, we don't pull any punches, amen? I'm going to preach hard against sin. I'm going to preach for the things I should preach for. I'm going to preach against those things. You might not fully agree with everything in application or in how I present it, but I guarantee you this. The reason I preach it is because I love you, and I want to see you grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. And there's some of you that I know of right now are doing things that are going to cost you dearly in the days ahead, and I hate it. But I can't just go into your life and change it. But I sure can preach the truth. I can tell you what's right. It's up to you to apply what's right. Here Paul's saying to the believers here at Rome, he says, don't be a debtor to the flesh. You owe your flesh nothing. Amen. Don't you do what you do simply because your flesh is telling you to do it. Amen. You prove all things and you hold fast to that which is good. Because if you hold to the flesh, you're going to die over it. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And you can't stop that process. So here, as Paul is talking to the brethren, the group, he said, I want to warn you about something. Look at Romans 10, just over a couple pages there to the right, or one or page, depending on your size print. Amen. Some people's print in their Bible is so small they can fit the whole Bible on one page. Amen. I can't read those for nothing. Amen. I need big print nowadays. Amen. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire. Here Paul is, he's opening his heart. See, unless you're part of the brethren, you can't open your heart. Oh, you'll try to get people to come to your heart where you want to be. You'll try to hijack some people, but you can't come to them on a heart level where both are there. Amen? Brethren, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And Paul's asking them, his brethren, to enter into that heart level with him and pray with him for their salvation. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's beseeching them. He's begging them by the mercies of God. And oh, how we're all here by the mercy of God. Amen. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's interesting. As he talks about the need for us to lay aside sin and to be holy, Peter says, be holy for I am holy. As Paul's talking to believers about not being entangled with the things of this life like he did to those in Galatians. And he talks about the weak and beggarly elements of the world and our need to disconnect from them. He enters into this brethren connection, this brotherhood connection with them to talk on that level. He says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And by the way, in studying this, I found a really good litmus test to see whether or not you're part of the brotherhood in heart, connected. Here it is. When the preacher and others start telling you that the way you're living is not right and you need to get right by the Word of God, if you're outside the brotherhood, you get upset. If you're connected in the brotherhood, you appreciate it. There it is. So right now, that's easy. I mean, by what Paul does, how he says that the Word of God, how he brings it forth. If you get upset because someone tells you the way you're living is wrong, and you get upset about it, your heart level is not where the group's is. Because as a church, this isn't about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Right. And how we handle ourselves, we should know how to possess our vessel. Amen. How we handle ourselves, how we carry ourselves, what scripture we have down, what doctrine we trust and believe in and know. All these things matter in reference to what our purpose is as a church. But if you're outside the brotherhood in heart, you might be a member, you might be in on paper. But if you're outside in heart, see, in your world, in your estimation, it's all about you. And so when somebody says something against you, you take offense to it. But if you're part of the brotherhood, it's not about you. It's about the leader of the group, which we learned in Sunday school, is Jesus Christ. And so we want to do everything we can to be better as a group to accomplish his purpose through us, the brotherhood. So there you go. If you take offense every time I preach against, you know, you wearing what you wear, amen, or you going where you go, or you whatever, amen. If you take offense to it, all that's doing is telling on you that you're all about you and you're all about your world and you don't really care ultimately about what Christ is doing or what he is doing through our church as a brotherhood. Say, that is very strong. It is. Amen. Thank you. But that's just the way it is. Amen. That's just how it works. All right. Well, real quick. Romans chapter 15. This gets gooder and gooder. Amen. This is amazing. Romans 15, verse number 14. Romans 15, verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. By the way, it didn't get there because you put it there. That goodness got there because God put it there. Amen. Filled with all knowledge. That's the Word of God. It got there because you took an interest in the Word of God. Able also to admonish one another. Unless you're in the brotherhood, there's no admonishment one to another. Amen? For instance, a family, like our family, of course, we're known as the Kaiser family. You all know that, amen? But your family's not known as the Kaiser family, unless, of course, you're a Kaiser, and then you started your own, right. But in that family, we can admonish one another. We're apart, and we do. Amen? But if I was to come over to your house and start admonishing your family, you might get a little upset with me. Now, if it's in a proper authority of a church and we're talking through things, fine. But if it's in connection just with that family, I'm not part of your family. I'm part of the brotherhood of the church family you're a part of, but your immediate family is a different brotherhood. Does that make sense? It's a different brotherhood. Now, some people try to mix that. They shouldn't. They get themselves in trouble. Amen? And so in your family unit, in your home, you have a brotherhood established. Amen? Some have more of a healthier brotherhood than others. But you should have a brotherhood established. And within that structure, you can talk about things in that environment that nobody else is allowed to talk to you about. It's your brotherhood. It's your family. So keep that in mind also now in reference to a local church. Amen? He says here that in that brotherhood, in the church brotherhood, you are able to admonish one another. So if you are not open to that, you are not part of the brotherhood in heart. Such that not only can you not be admonished, you're not able to admonish others because you will do it with the wrong spirit. Not the spirit of love in the brotherhood. Amen? All right, Romans 16, verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have received and learned, and avoid them. This is within a church. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, 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 whoa. Paul is saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. In reference to the church, not everybody's in the brotherhood that should be. And he says, this is how you'll know. Mark them which cause division. Mark those that are trying to disconnect people in the brotherhood. He said, because that is not how brethren act in a brotherhood. He says, mark them. Mark those that cause division. And then it goes on to say in the same passage here, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrines that you've learned. Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What that means is they've learned how to speak the language in mind, in head, but not they're not connected in heart. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing. Does that make sense? And Paul is warning. He says, be very careful about these. Look at verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, just over another page or two. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. A lot of problems in the Corinthians church. Corinthian church. Look at what Paul said to them. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If you're part of the brotherhood, this is our goal. We love each other. So we use each other in a sense of growing, in the sense of coming more in line with truth. We're not here trying to pit one another against another. We're not here trying to say my way is better than your way. We're here trying to see a unity developed as we grow together. If that's not your heart, then you're not really part of the brotherhood. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. It says in verse 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? A lot of wise guys, no wise men. Amen? That's a joke. I'm really bad at cracking jokes, by the way. Amen. No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's not a person in the group that can rightly judge between his brethren. Why? Because you have to be in the brotherhood before you can give and receive admonition according to Romans chapter 15, verse 14, verse 6 in our text, 1 Corinthians 6, 6. But brother, go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. They're hauling each other into court to let the unbelievers decide what's right and wrong. Just like people haul each other before the whole social media court to find out who's right and who's wrong. It's all wrong. Amen? We don't do that. We're brothers in Christ. Part of the brotherhood, amen. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. In a family scenario, away from the church scenario now of brotherhood, in the family scenario of brotherhood, I'm defrauded all the time. I come out on the losing end of deals all the time on purpose. Why? I love my family. Amen? If I help out my children, now my children who are now married, and they're, if I help them out and I lose money in the process, that's no big deal. Why? We're family. We're family. Amen? I'm not trying to gain monetarily on the back of my family. I'm trying to help. Does that make sense? But someone outside of my family, typically, I'll gain there because they're paying for my labor. They're paying for something. Does that make sense? And by the way, that's just a monetary example. There's time example. There's all kinds of examples in reference to this. When it's family, man, I don't mind being defrauded one bit. Whoa. Take that thought now into the church realm. If we're also a brotherhood, do you know oftentimes as a church in our family, you're going to be defrauded. You're going to feel like it cost you something. You're going to feel like somebody got one over on you. They gained, I lost. Something was owed me, I didn't get it. Yeah, happens all the time in a church scenario. It's normal. That's what happens in a brotherhood. I mean, those that were here painting this week, we didn't pass out paychecks. It's just what we do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I buy equipment, bought a skid steer. Why? Just to use it around this property. Why? Because we need it. And I wasn't going to go to the church and say, hey, do you have 10 extra grand I can go ahead and spend on it? You see what I'm saying? So what do? You just spend it. Who cares? It's God's money. But the point is this, it's that it's okay because we're a brotherhood. We're in this together. We're trying to accomplish something for God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's the difference. So another litmus test. If in your immediate family or in the church, you're constantly trying to make sure you come out ahead, you ain't part of the brotherhood. Because that doesn't matter in a brotherhood. What matters is that the cause is being promoted, that the overall goal is being promoted. How we get there, it doesn't matter. If I'm defrauded or if I, it doesn't matter. All that's out the window. Does that make sense? All right. Lastly, in reference to just scriptural examples here, Galatians 2:4. Galatians 2:4. Paul even talked about false brethren. Already pointed out where he said, whoa, be careful. You might come across some in your assembly. They're not really brethren because their heart's not involved. It's all in the head. They've answered the right questions. They've taken a dip through the pool. They've come in that way. Man, they ain't in heart there. They're not part of the brotherhood. They're all about them. They serve their own belly. They're not serving Jesus Christ. You see that? And here Paul actually calls them what they are, Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The devil's goal with false brethren mixed in among is to bring us into bondage. You know how things aren't going like I think they should go. I got to make a rule. That's it. Here it is. If you don't show up at 10:40, don't even bother coming. You could do that. It's not really a brotherhood thing to do. Do you realize sometimes people are late for a valid reason? Should we always be late? No. Do you know when you'll be on time? When it becomes important to you. When you see value in it. So what should I do as a leader? That's it. Because there's people not doing what I want them to do. I'm making a list. I'm checking it twice. I'm going to find out who's naughty and nice. Or part of the brotherhood, I can seek to reach your heart with why we do what we do and get you brought in that way, and then you'll never need a rule because the law of love and purpose will guide you. Nobody's beating on my door. Dana will tell you, no one. There ain't nobody in my house kicking me out of bed. I guarantee you that, amen. Nobody. I don't come to church because I have to. I don't come to church just because I have a position. I come to church because I love the fact that God has given me a place. He's given me a role. He's given us a group, I believe, unlike hardly any other. And I believe God's work is going forward. I love assembling in this building with y'all. I love it. Amen. And so I'm kind of addicted to it. Amen. And so I don't need a law to guide me in this. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm in. Now I'm part of the brotherhood right there. Amen. That's the difference. Does that make sense? But if you're not in part of the brotherhood, the only way you're going to do what you need to do, and even then it's a chore, is to spy out those things and to make rules and make laws to try to get that done. And it never really works out. It actually works the opposite. And it breaks the unity of a group instead of developing unity of a group. Now, how does someone become part of our brotherhood at McGregor Baptist Church? Number one, you must be born again. You know, we do our best. By the way, we try to vet that. If someone says they've been saved, we're going to talk to you. We want to hear your salvation testimony. We want to hear if you have good evidence that truly it was the Holy Spirit of God that brought you to a place of conviction. You saw yourself a sinner because God showed you in the Word of God, and that there's good evidence that not only did you realize you were a sinner, but you saw yourself as worthy of going to hell, worthy of being guilty, and that apart from salvation, you absolutely know the place you will go and need to go and belong there is hell. Amen? And that from there, that God took you and showed you the cross, showed you Jesus Christ high and lifted up, not there because he's a sinner. He was there completely innocent as the perfect Lamb of God because we are all sinners. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We cried out to him like that thief on the cross, like others, Lord, save me, a sinner. He wasn't bound to, in a sense, but chose to bind himself by his word, that if we would recognize our sinful condition and see him as the Savior, if we would call upon him, he would save us. He would deliver us. We took him up on that. And man, we're glad we did. And we got saved. We called. He answered. He changed. He changed me. He changed you. So when we talk to someone about that, we want to see those evidences, right? So that's how you get, that's the first step of getting in. And then you're willing to submit to believers' deep water baptism. Amen? You're going to allow the church to lay hands on you in a sense, put you in a vulnerable position back under the water to testify that what I did was in symbology what Jesus Christ did. He went to the ground and he rose from the dead. And not only are you willing to submit to that, but before you do that, you're going to be given a church covenant. Some other things, what it means to be a church member. And you're going to agree with those things. So that you're willing to follow the Lord in this practice. You've already been saved, willing to follow the Lord in this practice. And you are making a verbal assent to our connection, our responsibility to each other, and our doctrine. Amen? And if you'll go through all that, we'll still ask, all in favor of receiving that one into the membership, say amen. All those that don't, same sign. And as long as you're in 100% by the group, Amen. You can come in and you can join our brotherhood. Not just anybody can walk in and join. And then once you're a member, then of course, if things start going wrong, we can kick you out. And really, there's a few on our list we need to. I'm trying to be careful. Trying to be careful. You don't want to do that willy-nilly. Has some serious, serious ramifications. Last thing we ever want to do is kick somebody out. But it's our responsibility to oversee that whole side. Does that make sense? That's the brotherhood. That's what it's supposed to be. And yes, you are accountable to the rest of the group. Yes, I am accountable to the rest of the group. Yes, we do admonish one another. Yes, we do help each other to stay where we need to in reference to the brother. That is our responsibility. When you properly join a church, you are no longer on the outside looking in, but are in that family. You've become part of that brotherhood that cares for each other, that edifies each other, that disciples each other, that serves together for the sake of the gospel to the glory of our Lord and Savior. True brethren in the brotherhood of a church feel a deep compulsion to serve one another that are brethren. Let me say that again. And if that's not you, then you, if you're a member, you really need to work on this, because this is what really makes a church a thriving work for Christ on earth. It's needed. True brethren in the brotherhood of a church feel a deep compulsion to serve one another that are brethren. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. A brotherhood is likened unto a family. That is why we call each other brethren. Amen. A family, a family unit, not a church unit brotherhood, but a family unit brotherhood works wonderfully when each member of that family by love serves one another. When a member of the family does not have the brotherhood association, then they by selfishness take from the others and demand to be served with a complaining, ungrateful spirit. Now, this is in reference to a family. The same mentality can also be true in a church. Listen to this. Let me say this again. And you young people that are growing up in homes, as you get to be teenagers and really, really smart, amen, you are going to be compelled by the devil to disconnect from the brotherhood of your family and begin to rob from your family for your own gain. People literally, I've heard of stories, taking money out of purses, wealth out of safes, by taking substance, by taking that, hiding it out for the day that they get out. So now they have it. They have robbed and stolen from the family. God forbid that would be anybody in this room. But if that ever takes place, I pray that God, amen, attends your hide for that, amen. Woo! I hope it happens this week. Amen. All right. When a member of the family, God, might that be the case? God, if there's some ingrate in amongst our group that has robbed from their own family and has done despite God in that reference, God, please deal with them quickly. God, help them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. When a member of the family does not have the brotherhood association, then they by selfishness take from the others and demand to be served with a complaining, ungrateful spirit. Or when a member of the family starts looking at other families, wishing to be part of theirs, it destroys the brotherhood of their own family. Do you see that? And it can't yield a good result. It can't. It never does. Amen? A family works wonderfully when each member of that family by love serves one another. It can't just be mom doing all the work. It can't just be dad doing all the work, bringing home the bacon so the mom can fry it. Amen. It needs to be every part, every young person, every person in the home looking around. What can I do? How can I help out my siblings? How can I help out mom? How can I help out dad? How can I help the overall purpose of our family to be accomplished? When that's going on, man, it's a sweet place. And when it's not going on, it's very frustrating. Amen. For everybody involved. A church family is very similar. A Christian brotherhood is not about common likes and dislikes. Let me say that again. A true church brotherhood is not about common likes and dislikes. That's typically how we try to find connection with others. That's not how a brotherhood works. A Christian brotherhood is not about believing exactly the same initially. We're all working together to unity. We don't start unified. So it's not about that. That's not what brings us together. Christian brotherhood is not about being served. A lot of people look for churches. Let me see what that church can do for me. Oh, look, they got a really neat youth program. Oh, how awesome is that? Oh, look at that. They got this. Oh, their pastor really knows how to articulate and bring things. I could really use that. Man, my kids could really use that. I'm going to go there because they got everything I need. Oh, you're looking for a place to be served. Why don't you go join the Y or something? Man? Why don't you go join something else? That is not what a church is supposed to be. A Christian brotherhood is not about being served. A Christian brotherhood is about a deep-rooted connection through a common bond of service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me remind you, it's not up to us to find the church that fits us. It's up to God to put us in the assembly that He chooses for us to be. Amen. Ephesians 4 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. This is Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. With long-suffering, let's be long-suffering towards each other, lowly, meek, forbearing one another in love. That means helping each other in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Gossip does not fit this bill. Gossip is not endeavor. Did you hear what's going on? Who do we talk to about that? Those that are involved with it. Those that have a direct link to it. Amen. Be careful in our request of prayer for people that we're really not just gossiping. Because gossip destroys. Gossip tears down. Look, I got some news. Woohoo! I got news. Yeah, but by you saying that, is that going to hurt or help that person? Do you see what I'm saying? A true brotherhood spirit seeks to only help people in the group, never hurt people. Amen. By love, serve one another. The word love there is agape love. Agape love is a charitable helping type love. In 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long. We suffer long with people. Why? We love them. We're going to be there when things aren't going well with them. When they're going through hard times, we're going to do our best not to just kick them out, but to try to help them, amen, to come through it in a way that would be honoring to God. Charity is kind, helpful, amen. It envieth not. We're not looking at others and upset because we don't have their characteristics, their look, their hair, their anything, amen. We're happy they have it, amen. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. We're not lifting each other up. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. No, we act and we are responsible with our actions as we would for a church member. Seeketh not our own. It's not about us. Is not easily provoked. That's a tough one, amen. We're all easily provoked, amen. But as charity takes root in our heart, then we're not easily provoked by that one because we love them, amen. And we're not going to let them get our goat, amen. Keep that thing all tied up. Amen. Thinketh no evil. Charity never looks at somebody else and says, I think they said that because they're trying to hurt me. I think they did that because they're trying to get something over me. They're trying to take away from me. Charity thinketh no evil about others. Amen. That should never be our initial thought. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. We're never happy when someone else falls into sin. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. As long as charity is the glue that's holding the brotherhood together, it never faileth. As long as charity is what's holding your marriage together, it cannot fail. As long as charity is what's holding your family together, it cannot fail. As long as charity is holding our church together, it cannot fail. In family and ministry, we don't beat each other into submission. We, though there may be a time to use the rod, we don't do it out of anger, do we? We always do it biblically. And we talk through why we're doing what we're doing. We're teaching through the process. Because the goal is not to beat into submission. The goal is to teach and to train them to love our God like we love our God. To love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we, by love, serve one another as we all strive together for a common goal. Most families struggle because as a family, you have never stated, you have no stated common purpose. Amen? And we're about done. We're going to wrap up with these couple thoughts. We'll be done. What is the stated purpose of your family? If you don't have one, then you're asking everyone to serve something that's unknown. And that just doesn't last long at all, for very long. Amen. The purpose of a family needs to be sent, of a Christian family, needs to be centered around God's call for the husband of that family. God gave the wife as a help to his purpose and calling. I'm just saying this is how it is. Say what? My husband's not this, that. I get that. There still will be a stated purpose, even in that regard, then for that mom who's trying to raise her children without the help of a husband for whatever reason. There will still be this there, but in Scripture, we find that the man is given a calling, and then God sends in a wife to help with that calling. And then if they have children, the children are brought also into that. Amen? To also help with that calling. Genesis 2:18. Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. I love to ask new couples, what's the purpose of your marriage? Why did God bring you together to get married? If he didn't, you shouldn't be getting married. What is the purpose? What is God calling you to do? Because if you don't have that, the honeymoon stage, when it's over, you're in trouble. When the lust stage is over, you're in trouble. Don't look at me like I said something wrong. When your flesh no longer desires the flesh of the other because they've done something to hurt you, you're in trouble. Amen. And it will happen. And you better have not lust, but true love. Agape type love that'll hold that thing together. That will suffer long with the other. Well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't see it important to marry a Christian. I mean, why should I have to marry a Christian? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because one of these days, you're going to find out that they have no ability to love you with agape love because it only comes from God. Amen. My calling is to pastor McGregorio Baptist Church at this point in my ministry. So our stated purpose as a family is that we serve the Lord through the pastorate and membership of McGregorio Baptist Church, endeavoring to reach the world for Christ. That's what we do. By the way, Dana can tell you, even when we go on vacation, I hate missing a Sunday. We lose part of our condo week and everything else and all that because I want to be there on that Sunday. Sometimes we can't. But my purpose is, that's our church. That's where God's called us. I'm going to be there sometimes, very rare. It just doesn't work. Say, why is that important to you? Because of our purpose. By the way, our family's purpose never trumps God's call on our life. They work together. They work together. Does that make sense? That's why this is so important. But if you don't have that, when you go to make a decision, you make an arbitrary decision based on how you feel today. That's what you're stuck with. And it causes confusion in your family. It causes confusion, men, in your wife. It causes confusion in your children. And ultimately, they just are raised, oh, we just do what dad says. In essence, may not be a bad thing unless it's all over the map because dad is arbitrary. That statement only works if dad's consistent with the purpose. Amen. Amen. When any member of our family, this is why it's important. When any member of our family begins to do things against our purpose, it stands out like a sore thumb. And that's how it's supposed to be. Amen? That's how it's supposed to be. And then we move quickly to work to bring that member back in line with our purpose. And we never choose a means that goes contrary to our purpose. Our purpose under God is everything. And they either fall in line or they're kicked out of the brotherhood. That's tough. That's Bible. Amen. And it, by the way, at the end of the day, it works. The same mindset should be present in a church. As brethren, we have all agreed to our stated purpose as stated in our church covenant. We don't force compliance to this covenant. By love, we serve one another in the direction of this covenant as we endeavor to keep the unity of the brethren. In order to do this, we always approach issues from our brethren connection under our overall agreed purpose, which is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Lastly, here's our questions. Does your family have a brotherhood connection with a stated purpose? If not, you would be wise to establish this without delay. Are you a member of McGregor Baptist Church? If not, you can be. But you have to follow what we talked about earlier to become a part. If you're already a member, do you have this brotherhood connection with our church? If not, do you agree with our stated purpose and our covenant? Are you actively seeking to, by love, serve the brethren? Are you actively doing your part to fulfill the church purpose? Somewhere in there, it's messed up, and that's why you don't feel that brotherhood or understand or have that brotherhood connection. Either the stated purpose is askewed, or you've chosen by selfishness to demand that others serve you instead of by love serving one another, or you're just not doing your part to fulfill the purpose of the church in your stated role. Amen? I love the people of God. I do. I love Christians. I love all, not just those of our church. I love Christians all over the place. We have friends in the ministry everywhere. But I don't have a brotherhood connection with the majority of those like I have with us here. Because this is where we have been brought together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a brotherhood, to work together and work through the nitty-gritty and some hard stuff. We work through hard relationship type issues here because that's life. Amen. And that's required if we're going to accomplish God's will. I do. I love our people. And I doubly love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe he's worthy for me to be a part of what's going on in that aspect. I believe that's the brotherhood. And I believe that's why God says to, he commanded us in 1 Peter, he said, love the brotherhood. You know, sometimes, man, it's hard to love your own family, isn't it? You kids can be honest. Man, sometimes mom and dad do some things, man, you're just not happy with. My dad said something. I'm just not so sure about it. But one thing you can't get away from if you're in a good family is, you know mom and dad love you. And it breaks your heart when you go against who they are and what they stand for. Can I say, that's healthy. That's healthy. And that's needed in a family. And can I say, if you're a young person, I know we have a lot of adolescent type young people getting ready. I know we're about done. But let Grandpa Pastor, just for a second. I'm not there. Let me give you a little advice, young people. Respect the brotherhood of your family and never do anything to undermine it. Because in a very short time, you're going to be a part of or lead your own family and brotherhood. And if you sow seeds of destruction in your parents' brotherhood, you're going to struggle. And it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of years to work that out. I know you don't believe me right now. I hope you do. I say I know you don't believe me. I know it's tough to believe what I just said there on that reaping and sowing thing. But it's true. Respect it. And before you know it, you'll be on your own. You can go make your own mistakes in your own family. And go by God's word, try it all out. But I know this. At some point, you're going to be called back to the reality and the need that I need a solid, strong brotherhood in my family, and I need to be a part of that brotherhood in my church. Because it's like you can only go so far until you do. You know, there's a lot of lonely people in our world. Do you know why people are lonely? They won't get past that threshold of brotherhood. Because brotherhood is a very vulnerable place to be. I'm going to implore you, break through that shell. And by love, appreciate God, serve Him, but then also serve the brotherhood. And you'll be happy you did. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. And we thank you for this opportunity. God, I thank you for the message. I thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to study this out. God, it has really impacted me. And I hope that it's impacted others as well. Strengthen our church. Strengthen the brotherhood of our church. God, if there are some on the outside looking in, I pray that today would help them to see the need for that relationship basis within a local church that you just can't have on the outside looking in. And God, for families today, Lord, we need strong families. But the only way to have a true biblical strong family is your way, with a proper respect for the local church and for the makeup of that family, and for the calling of that family and purpose of that family, as you've given the husband, the father, or if that is not present, then, of course, then the mother and the children. God, help now. Help with these things. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We ask your help in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.